Amen. The only way you're going to bring the glory of God in a place is to praise Him. Yes. Amen. Anyway, some announcements here very quickly. If you have your cell phones, please put them on vibrate. All right. And we're having membership class on Sunday, July 31st. If you have not filled out your pre-membership form, please fill it out and have it back to us. Well, we would like them before Sunday, but you will just get them into us first thing Sunday morning. Also, we're having a water baptism on Sunday, August 14th. Right after service, it's going to be at our house. We ask you to come to church with a change of modest swimwear and a towel. All right? And you can change at the church, in a woman's or men's room, and everything will be great. And here's something else. Anyone want to get involved in any of the volunteer positions at the church, any ministry, we have there's a sheet on our website, okay? If you go to www.abundantgracechurch.com and you look under Connect, the last one there is the application. You can fill that application out online and email it back to office@abundantgracechurch.com, all right? And you'll see some of the requirements that we have there to be a volunteer. Amen. So if you could do that, that'd be good. Instead of, you know, some people say, I want to get involved, and they never turn in the sheet. So if you fill it out online, we will get it. Okay? Praise the Lord. And then also on August 23rd, it's a Tuesday night between 5 and 11, it's going to be Take Me Out to the Ball Game, a night of faith and fellowship sponsored by the Blue Claws, so you'll be able to meet some of the Blue Claws players and coaches as they give their testimonies. Tickets are $10 for adults, $8 for seniors and kids. And you can see Michael or Kathy. They're not here tonight, but you can see them Sunday. Amen? There's a sign-up sheet back there. Hallelujah. How many have your Bible with you? Amen. How many have been getting little Facebook deals I'm doing? Amen. You know, it's a little weird to me to do that, but I'm getting used to it, okay? Depends. Anyway, where is my sermon? I know I have it here. There it is. Anyway, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go there tonight. We're going to read. And like I said in the little video clip that I sent out, we want to talk about what God thinks about gossip. All right? So, you know, if you don't have a Facebook thing, I would ask you to get one, because we're going to start doing more and more of that, all right? But I'll perfect it first. Like, got to get perfected. But I said in there, I says, how many of us have been a victim of gossip, or even a perpetrator of gossip, all right? And gossip hurts, all right? And really, what I wanted to do tonight is I want us to see what God thinks about it. But not only that, a few things to help you if you've been a victim of gossip. You know, if somebody, you know, been the recipient of it. And you know, and a lot of people have. And it's hard. So anyway, over here in Ephesians chapter 4, I was going to start in verse 29. I'm just going to go up a couple verses. It says here, and let's look at verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the sun go down. It says you can be angry, but don't sin. See, if you go to bed angry, you know, you might not wake up. All right? But anyway, and it says, nor give place to the devil. And the word place there is actually the word where we get the topographical maps from. So what he's saying, literally, don't give any ground to the devil. One translation says, don't give an opportunity to the devil. You say, well, how do we do that? When we start to gossip. And we're going to look at that tonight, pretty much, okay? Then he says in verse 28, and I'm going to read that. Let's look at verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word, or as the King James says, communication proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I want you to underline, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And he's pretty specific there. He says, Holy Spirit of God. You know, so it's not a Holy Spirit of somebody else. It's a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, he says in this verse of Scripture, very simply, let no corrupt word or communication come out of your mouth. And we might just think, you know, of dirty words or something like that, which is part of it. But that's not exactly what this is all talking about here, okay? He says, but what is good for edification? Edification. And the next verse, which we read, says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And the implication is that when we corrupt communication comes out of our mouth, it causes the Holy Spirit to be grieved. Now, it's interesting because the word for Greek, the Greek word for this, would normally be used where he talked about do not grieve the Holy Spirit, is a Greek word when they talk about marriage, all right? And it's a picture of a husband who, or wife who has discovered that one of them have been unfaithful. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. That's what it's depicting. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. So really, what this is telling us, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, okay, what's happening here is we are being unfaithful to God. All right? That's what this is saying. And so as a result of the unfaithfulness, the spouse is shocked. Devastated, the whole thing. And so our relation, the relationship that exists between us and the Holy Spirit is precious, okay? Precious. The Holy Spirit loves us. The Holy Spirit's here to guide us, comfort us, all right? Just as someone in love thinks, you know, dreams about love and cherishes the one they love and so forth and so on, the Spirit longs, thinks about us, desires to be close to us, and wants to reveal himself to us. And I think one of the things that have been lost in over the years is that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You know, you often hear people talk about, well, it. The Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He lives, he breathes, and he has feelings, and he can be grieved. Thank you for that. Amen. Okay. So when we act unbecomingly, talk unbecomingly, behave unbecomingly, and respond just the way the world responds to different situations, we cause the Holy Spirit of God to feel shock and awe. All right? Hurt, grief. And if you don't believe that he's alive, then this doesn't make too much sense to you. But he is. And so what we do is, when we do something deliberately that's wrong, we drag the Holy Spirit right in with us. You say, how can we do that? He's God. He's in you. All right? So, in gossip, and I said all that to say, gossip is a sin that grieves the Holy Spirit. You'll notice Paul calls it a corrupt word or corrupt communication. And it comes from a Greek word that refers to something that stinks or something that is rotting, and such as meat that's been full of maggots. I try to get descriptive, you know what I mean? Okay. It, because that kind of communication is dead communication. It's dead communication, it's decaying, it stinks, and it's offensive to the Spirit of God, and it grieves him. Think about that. It is so destructive and offensive that God, that Paul lists it. I want you, you're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He lists it in with some other nasty attributes. Okay? And so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear least, verse 20, When I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whisperings, conceits, tumults. I guess that's it. Now you might say, I don't see the word grieve there, or gossip. I don't see the word gossip in that verse. Well, it's there. It's the word whisperings. The word whisperings is the same word translated gossip. Hello? Amen. You know? And so Paul, to make sure we know how bad it is, he lists it side by side with several other attributes that are really nasty, okay, and actions. And he places gossip right alongside of them. But just for a minute, I just want to look. It's not going to be a real long sermon tonight, but I just want you to understand what happens when we talk about, when we decide, gee, so-and-so's got a problem. You don't realize what you're doing, okay? All right, so first one is contentions, and it depicts a church divided by church politics. That's what that word, contentions. And it could be called quarrels, wranglings, you know? And it doesn't necessarily have to be in church. It could be office politics, you know? You can get involved in office politics. And it's just as bad. You're grieving the Holy Spirit, okay? Well, you say it doesn't have anything to do about church. Yes, you're right, it doesn't, but it has all to do about your character. Amen. Okay? The next one is jealousies. It comes from the Greek word where we get zealous from, all right? And it pictures a person so self-consumed with themselves that they fiercely fight to get their own way. They are a legend in their own mind. Seriously, they don't consider the needs or the desires of other people. It's all about them. And that's where we get the word jealousy from. The next one, outbursts of wrath. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. It comes from the word where we get thermos from. Okay? Thumos. It's a Greek word, and it portrays a person who suddenly flares up. And well, today, you know what we call it today? They have a problem. Anger management. No, they have outbursts of wrath, and it's a sin. Okay? So anyway, they lose their control over some deep-seated anger that they have inside of them. You've seen them. They literally boil over, erupting in an ugly outburst that negatively affects everybody around them. Next one, selfish ambitions. This depicts a selfish desire to promote one's own way. Even if it means splitting friendships, even if it means splitting a church, hello? That's a self and ambition. Splintering groups. And we have backbiting. And that means to talk down to or speak derogatory about someone else. And it could be translated by the word slander. And then the next one, whisperings. And this is where we get the word gossip from. Okay, and it expresses the idea again of a gossiper. That's it. And the reason people whisper is that they know it's kind of wrong to talk this way. They never say it out in front of people. It's always behind something. Like, let me talk to you for a minute. Let's go over here. Hello? All right. And so, and really, they figure if I say this out loud, I get in trouble. Therefore, they whisper little tidbits of information to others. Conceits. Conceits. It carries the idea of a person filled with pride. They're prideful people. And it can be translated puffed up. You know, on Sunday we were talking, I think it was Sunday, we were talking about love, and we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the love chapter, how love doesn't get puffed up. Well, obviously, if a person is conceited, they're not walking in love. I guess we could look at it that way. So they're puffed up pride about something that isn't even important. Not even important. They're just blown away by something that is a spot. And they delude themselves in this false sense of over-significance rather than being better to other people. This can be translated with another word. You ready? Arrogant. They're arrogant. And finally, the last one is tumults, and that's a great word, means anarchy, chaos, insubordination to some kind of attitude or action that creates upheaval and unrest around them, instability. And it's just a picture of a person or an attitude of a person who creates some type of disastrous disturbance. I like to put it this way. It's always drama. Always drama. Oh my God, it's always drama. You see that people coming a mile away, you go, drama class. Because it doesn't matter what you tell them. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how much you explain it to them. Drama's coming. But the thing I want you to notice is that gossip is right smack dab in the middle of all of this list. So what does it tell us about what God thinks of gossip? And not only what God thinks of gossip, but strap in. Those who participate in gossip. You know, we used to sing a song. My wife mentioned it this afternoon. She was looking to go, saddle up your horses. We're on a great adventure. Saddle up. All right? You know, and let's understand what this word gossip describes. It describes a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts, rumors, or reports of an intimate nature that are none of their stinking business. That's gossip. For instance, give you some for instances. Talking about someone's business and things that don't concern you. When you can get involved with somebody else, here's the beauty part of it. You don't know. So you're assuming. And so you're talking about things you don't know anything about that don't concern you. Repeating what someone else said, even though you don't know whether it's true or not. We see that all the time in the news. You know, when they had that shooting in Dallas, there was four guys. And the news had spread all over the world. Four shooters, it was one guy. Hello? Think about what I'm telling you. Christians do this. They hear something, they're walking by, they just hear something, they don't know the whole story, and they go tell everybody else about it. Did you hear about so-and-so? Talking as though you're an authority about matters that are other people's business. And just spreading malicious words about someone else. You know, you might hear things that might be true. Okay? But God even has that covered. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, my brethren and sistern, all right, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue or benefit, and is there anything praiseworthy or admirable, think on these things. So, that verse of Scripture is telling me something. It might be true. But if it's not praiseworthy, if there's no virtue in it or benefit in it, you have no business opening your mouth about it. Gossip is poison. It hurts people. It kills relationships. It destroys trust. You know, listen, whether it's in the workplace or in church, I've had people who've done it to me. You know what? I love them. I forgive them, but I don't need to buy a piano from them. Becomes a trust factor, man. And I won't trust them as far as I could throw a Mack truck. Don't mean I don't love them. Got nothing to do with loving them. Because love is not based on how I feel. It's based on who's in me. I'll even forgive them. But I don't have to trust them. So it kills. In the work, whether it's in the workplace or at church, gossip happens between two employees, two friends. They feel like they can truly share with each other. I'll tell you what. You don't want anybody to know anything. Keep your mouth shut. I don't have any other way to put it. But they often are people, first of all, they are people who've either been offended or hurt. Or they perceive they've been offended. And they perceive they've been hurt. They haven't really been offended or hurt. They just perceive it that way. Okay? By the one who's the subject of their gossip. That's how it goes. So therefore, any little thing they hear becomes a choice morsel to share with other people. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8 in the NIV says this way. It says, the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost part. And what I found out in life, that gossip is usually based on rumors anyway. That's usually inaccurate. It creates suspicion in people. And it divides people. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be in the church of Jesus Christ. And it's so evil that it should be absolutely forbidden in a ministry or in our own personal life. And again, that little Greek word gossip is the word whisper. And that means it almost takes place in secret. Almost always takes place in secret. I mean, you won't come into church and find a bunch of people in a corner talking about it. They'll go to lunch after church and talk about it. And if the person they're talking about is nearby, oh, praise God, how you doing? Turn that knife. Do it a little twist. Join ISIS. And it takes place. You know, if you've ever engaged in it in the past, and listen, all of us have got caught up in it, so don't sit there and say, not me, I'm holier than thou and I'm walking on water tonight. No, you're not. All right, don't deceive yourself. Don't be self-deluded. Because you might have done it unintentionally. Because it's easy to get caught up in that trap. Real easy, you know. Here's how it takes place in the restroom at the church or in the office or in Walmart. In an office somewhere. At lunch. In the cafe, right? In a prayer meeting. And see, here's where this always happens in a prayer meeting. And it goes under the guise of camouflaged prayer. It's not really prayer. It's gossip. In the corner where the boss is, can't hear you, the gossip comes up. And here's another thing I found out about gossipers. They attract to each other like magnets. Really, they do. When they get together, they see things alike, and therefore they begin to think they're right, and it doesn't matter. Thus, they form a little faction, a little right inside the church. You say, how do I know all this stuff? Been pastoring 33 years. People say, Pastor, nothing shocks you. There isn't anything out there that could shock me. You know what would shock me? If a Brinks truck pulled up with $10 million in it, that would shock me. The garbage that happens around churches oftentimes doesn't shock me that much. Somebody coming in writing me a check for $10 million to the church, that would definitely, they'd have to call the EMTs because I would need oxygen. I don't care. I'll take the oxygen. They can bring it, you know. But they do attract each other. And they think they're doing God's business. Because they think they're smart. Smarter than everybody else. And they're getting together to discuss all the problems going on in other people's lives. Amen. Even though it isn't their business to discuss. It's not our business to meddle in other people's lives. So it would be good, being that it means to whisper, you need to ask yourself something. Would I say these things publicly? If you feel that you're someplace and you're itching to tell somebody, would you go to that person or publicly say it? And if your answer is no, then put duct tape over your mouth. Okay? You shouldn't be saying. If you wouldn't say it to that person publicly, then you have no business talking about it privately either. So I urge you, don't allow the devil to snag you into these things. You know, James chapter 3, verse 8 tells us the tongue is an unruly, evil, full of deadly poison member. You can refuse to be the source of gossip. Amen? And if you really love Jesus, why would you want to participate in something that's going to poison others' people's opinions and ultimately divide and hurt others? You know, it's true. We judge a book by its cover. When we say something about somebody, the person we're talking to, if they've never met that person, they have a preconceived opinion on what that person's like that could be totally false. You know, over the years in pastoring, wives would come to us and tell us, you know, my husband's this, my husband's that. And by the time they leave the office, you think it's like Ben Hur's coming through the door ready to knock everything down. And finally the husband will come in and this meek, mild, quiet little guy. But, and it happens the other way too, you know, about the wife. But my point is, we get preconceived ideas. We have no business even talking in church about anything because a visitor could be here and hear something. And let me tell you, you're hurting yourself. And you're grieving the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening when you do that. It's hurtful. It's hurtful. Now, what about those who've been the target of gossip or rumors? Well, one thing, make sure the things they're saying aren't true. If they are, change. Isn't that a novel idea? If they're true, change. Most of the time, they're probably not. Two, don't react to the gossip and get pulled into the game. You know, over the years, we've had many things said about us that are not true, okay? Matter of fact, my life has got to be probably the most open book on the planet. But people say things. I don't know if they're jealous, they don't like us. I don't know. And guess what? It is what it is, all right? I have to walk in love and I have to walk in forgiveness. Amen. That's what I have to do, all right? But does it hurt? Yeah. I express these feelings to my wife? Yeah. Most of the time, I just can't even figure it out. I don't even understand it. I just don't understand it because I don't think I'd ever do anything like that. Not that I'm perfect, but the closest thing you'll see to it. I better get a sip of water on that one. Anyway, but we've had it. We've made it a practice not to open our mouths about it to anybody. And even if a lot of times people will ask us, all right? I'm not talking about people who might be involved in it. That's another story. The person who's involved in it, we might discuss it, but we're not going to gossip about it. I always say, just walk in love, forget it. You can't go back and change it. It's over. I mean, what are you beating your head into the wall for? But people would come, they'd hear something, they come to me and my wife, and they would ask us. And we would share with them the truth on a limited basis. And then the next question my wife always says, how long have you known me? And that usually ends it. And again, we're to walk and forgive and walk in forgiveness and love. Don't retaliate. Like I said, you don't have to buy a piano from them or anything else like that. You just need to love them. And Psalm 103, verse 6 says, see, we don't have to get even. You know, sometimes when these things happen, I'm a hot-headed Italian, but just at home with my wife. And she'll say, what are you going to do? I said, we just need to go call them up and tell them. She said, no, we don't. Just need to walk in love and forgive them. But I don't want to. Right at that moment. And then I think of Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And that word oppressed carries a lot of different meanings to it, okay? But so let me give you a couple of practical, five quick things here and we'll end. You know, first of all, we said Proverbs chapter 18:8 says that gossip is like choice morsels. Words hurt. We need to understand. Words hurt, okay? They hurt and can leave deep wounds in other people. And if you don't know how to handle it, and it's you've been the recipient of gossip, you could have some deep-seated hurt inside of you. You could back up, leave, never want to be seen again by anybody, all right? So we have to be careful. We have to know how to handle that, especially if they say things about you that aren't true, okay? But I can't control what other people say about me. That's one thing I had to learn in my life. I can't control what they say about me. So there's no permanent way to prevent others from talking about you. There's no way. You could be the best person on the planet. And trust me, somebody will find something to talk about you about. But there's five quick tips straight from God's word, and I gave you a couple of them as we were going, how to handle the next time in the gossip and rumor mill starts churning out your name. Okay? Say nothing. What do you mean? Well, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies. Pretty simple, isn't it? Easier said than done, though, for some people. All right. See, your reaction will make it the gossip continue or die down. And I don't, you know what? I don't need to rush to defend myself. Because God's got my back. Amen. And he's my banner. And I don't think there's anyone on the planet that asks himself or my wife constantly checking ourselves out on different things that happen, you know? Okay? So, second, let your reputation speak for itself. Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before men and that they may see your good deeds and praise you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, out of New King James says it this way. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. The Message Bible says it this way. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good days, deeds, and glorify God on the day he visits. So establish credibility is what it's saying. Now, talk to God about your problem. The Holy Ghost, you know, the Holy Ghost is our comforter. Go to God. Don't perpetrate gossip by talking to others about what happened to you and how bad you feel and what a louse the other person was. And it might all be true, but if there's no virtue or no praise, then don't talk about it. Hello? You understand what I'm saying? So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So the Holy Ghost is given to us to comfort us, to help us with the hurt that stuff causes. And we don't understand it. There are times I'll be sitting home and I'll just be thinking about things and it'll pop in my head and I just go, I don't even understand. Why? I don't know why. There's nothing I can do about it. Okay? Let God be your defender. Psalm 10, verse 17 and 18 says, you hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them. You listen to their cry, defending the oppressed in order that man who is in the earth may terrify no more. So ask God to be your defender. Don't try to defend yourself. Because you know what I've found out over the years? It only gets worse. Yeah. You got to ask him to help you guard your tongue. And to provide opportunities you to lovingly disapprove the false accusations. Because we could just go, well, bless God, they're nuts. My wife says she's done that before, and she has. All right. And who, me? I'm calm, cool, and collective. That's it. And last but not least, walk in love towards those who are doing the talking. Jesus told us in Matthew in the Beatitudes, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know? Don't lash out. Pray for the source of the gossip. You know, there's the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. All right? Couldn't be further from the truth. Words hurt. It's no fun to be the target of gossip. Also, it's no fun to be the perpetrator of gossip because it hurts your spiritual walk with God. So it's no fun to be the target. But God's word offers hope for us in all circumstances.